Good morning. Unitarian Universalists sometimes speak of Unitarian Universalism as a faith tradition. In general and formal correspondence, UU leaders often sign off with the phrase, in faith. So faith is clearly a significant part of our religious community. But what is this faith? It is easier to know what being faithful means than to know what having faith is, or even what faith might be. So let's explore faith and what it might mean for Unitarian Universalists. When I was young, the idea of faith was quite clear. Faith meant belief in a set of doctrines, which were really dogmas. Having faith meant that one believed the creed set forth, and being faithful meant acting on that belief. The beliefs were seemingly simple. The Bible is inerrant, without contradictions or confusions, and the fundamentalist and literalist interpretation of the Bible was the only possible one. What was not discussed was the fact that both fundamentalism and literalism require a lot of interpretation. For example, the familiar Christmas pageant, which tells the story of Jesus' birth, was absolutely the way it was. Never mind that the pageant was a pastiche of three rather different stories, which do not entirely agree with one another. Coherence was achieved by simply telling all three stories together, so that shepherds, wise men, King Herod, flocks of animals, a manger, an angel or two, a bright star, Joseph, Mary, the baby Jesus, all appear on stage. What a busy place Bethlehem was that particular night. Faith meant believing all this to be literally true, along with, of course, much else. Many of you know what that much else was. Of course, there were never any questions about the plausibility of the story, and no discussion of how items were picked out of the Old Testament, the Jewish Bible, to make the story. The facts that Herod was dead before Jesus was born, or that stars do not select specific houses or stables to shine over, or that shepherds were unlikely to be herding sheep in the dead of winter, were not discussed. And so the story was never treated as a story that might, like a fine novel of fictional characters, illuminate deeper truths than mere events of the past can do. And so, like many people, including some here, I stopped believing in a fundamentalist and literalist way. I lost my faith. After a relatively brief period of adolescent atheism, I began to think again about religion. Of course, there is a mature and quite respectable atheism, but that is not what I had back then. Studying world religions, I made many discoveries that would have been inconceivable in my very young days. The term world religion can mean many things. It can mean that a religious tradition has been around a long time. It can mean that it is a religious tradition that has successfully crossed cultures, ethnicities, languages, and that it flourishes. It can mean that it has a vast number of adherents. Most world religions are all three. A world religion is always many things to different people. If there were only one thing, pure belief and a single practice, it would remain small. And purist religions that do not allow for variety in belief or practice typically will be small and will not survive across time. Every major religious tradition has its fundamentalists, its literalists, its liberal understandings, its mystical elements, and a diversity of practices. But there are only two traditions that have emphasized belief almost to the exclusion of everything else: Christianity, and Islam. Other traditions have beliefs, of course, but other elements, such as individual devotion, a variety of practices, a wide range of views on each item of belief, are more central. So faith around the world is not just belief. In fact, it may have little to do with belief. "Be ye lamps unto yourselves," were the Buddha's last words. And he also said that everything, including the words of the Buddha himself, are to be subject to questions, reflections, and testing in his followers' thoughts and lives. Perhaps faith has little or nothing to do with belief. The psychoanalyst Sigmund Freud held that we are all subject to and driven by the pleasure principle, the urge to find pleasure in life. He also thought that we were affected by a second principle, the reality principle, which allows us to think ahead and anticipate greater future pleasure by foregoing immediate pleasures. Hence, we have savings accounts, and some of us save ourselves for marriage. The Harvard philosopher Robert Nozick, who died before his time in 2002, is best known as the father of libertarianism, a movement he rejected in his mature years. In addition to a variety of rather technical philosophical works, he published a collection of essays about life, its meaning and worth, in a book entitled The Examined Life, Philosophical Meditations. He argued that there is a second reality principle that operates in human beings. That is the principle that we want to what we believe to correspond to reality in at least some significant ways, though we know that our beliefs might be wrong. Part of this principle is that we want our beliefs to be shareable. We want to share them with others and to be understood. We might say that we want to be credible to ourselves and to others. In Buddhism, the Sanskrit word shraddha is often translated as faith, but it can equally well be translated as confidence. As the Buddha's last words indicate, that faith or confidence is first and foremost in ourselves, not in some doctrine, dogma, or creed. Nozick thought that having faith meant having reasons for seeing the world in a certain way, for believing certain things, and for understanding in this or that manner. But these reasons were not the reasons of logic, or scientific discourse, or statistical probabilities. These reasons were based upon one's own experience. Faith in the divine, God, or the mystery, however we want to refer to the source of life or ground of being, arises from experiencing something very real in one's life. It may be a person, an event, a book, a feature of nature, a state of consciousness, whatever, but it intimates something divine, something that transcends our ordinary experience, consciousness, and categories. As Nozick put it, quote, "These extraordinary qualities touch you deeply, opening your heart, so that you feel in contact with a special manifestation of the divine, in that it has some form of divine qualities to a very great extent." Nozick held that faith is justified when it can be paralleled by a plausible line of reasoning or explanation. But these do not cause the faith. The experience does that. The explanation or philosophical argument fulfills his second reality principle, that we want our beliefs to correspond to reality and to be shareable with others. But note that he refers to a special manifestation of the divine, something that comes in our individual, unique experience which is not directly shareable. Others may have quite different special manifestations and may explain them plausibly. Having such an experience, be it dramatic and immediate, or drawn out over a long time, does not deny that others have other experiences of rather different kinds. This is why we can have many different views, many different bases for faith, and appreciate them, though we will hold to our own because it is our own individual exceptional experience. The reason why faith is not just belief, though it may lead to deeply held beliefs, is that it is essentially confidence in one's own experience. Self-confidence here means trust in our deepest experiences. That does not mean we think our deepest experiences are infallible. We may have further experiences that cast a quite different light on the older ones, and so we cannot be dogmatic. John Shelby Spong was quite correct when he said, faith does not, cannot, and will not give us peace of mind, security, and certainty. Faith is trust in oneself. That does not imply distrust in others. As Nozick put it, again I quote, faith then can be investigated, guiding further inquiry into the range and validity of the experiences. The affirmation can be wholehearted and yet tentative. A trust in your own deepest experiences guides your own life and inquiry. It is not something to demand others have too. Unitarian Universalism embraces a great diversity of views because of this. The deeply intuitive pagan, someone oriented toward the Christian message, the thoughtful atheist, the person who resonates to Hindu polytheism, and so on, all have faith in themselves and confidence in their experiences, and all can be plausible in explaining their stances. And we can acknowledge all of them without surrendering our own faith, whatever it might be. Such reflections on faith are a revelation, our first principle, promoting the inherent worth and dignity of every person, and our seventh, respecting the interdependent web of all existence, are not two separate propositions. The first, seeing each human being as autonomous and individual, implies the seventh. For if each is truly an individual of inherent worth, then we must acknowledge each other as just that, and such acknowledgement invokes a radical equality that demands mutual respect in an interdependent web. Our experiences are what seems to be outside ourselves, and so the interdependent web is revealed in our individual experiences and our radical equality. Unitarianism historically emphasized the first principle, Universalism the seventh. No wonder the two faith traditions merged into one enhanced faith tradition, whose faith is not in creeds, but in people and relationships. To the degree we have faith in ourselves without the delusion of specialness in respect to experience, we have confidence in others. That is the heart of Unitarian Universalism. We are privileged and grateful to be part of this faith community. May it be so.